Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Good evening, and welcome to Clinically Speaking, where we discuss psychological and faith-based topics with the view to grow, develop, and maintain skills so that we may be elevated to the very best version of ourselves. I am your host, Sierra Renee, your friend of peace, and it is my job to love and encourage you like only your friend could, but I also want to educate, challenge, and empower you like your therapist should. In today's show, we are actually going to be discussing Black men and mental health. I do have a special guest on the show with me today. He's not a stranger to this show. We have Keith Jones on the line with us. Are you there, Keith? Uh-oh. Hold on. Technical difficulties, right? Technology. He can't live with it, can't live without it. He is telling me that he can hear me, but I cannot hear him. I'm wondering if we can go ahead, if our executive producer is on the line, if he could go ahead and give Keith's number access to the show so that we may be able to hear him as well. That would be very helpful for us. I'm wondering if I give him another number to call, would that work? This happened to us last time we were on the show together, right, guys? Technology. Keith, I'm going to give you another number, and maybe you hang up and dial that number. Let's see if we can outsmart technology here and getting you online. I don't know if the producer is able to get you up.
Sierra, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I see he's on the line. I don't know why we cannot hear him. I have him hooked up where he can be live. There you go.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. Look at that. There's power in numbers. Teamwork.
All right, all right. Thank you,
Brother Brown.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brown.
All right. See? Look what happens when our powers unite. So Keith Jones, our resident social worker, is online with us today. How are you doing this evening?
I am well. How are you, Ms. Frenifis?
I've had better days. I'm actually coming down with a cold, but that's okay. We got to press on through. I'm so happy that you were able to join me on late notice. You always coming through on the clutch for me, so I really appreciate you, brother.
No problem. Anytime.
Good. So we are going to be talking about men and mental health, but before we get any further, let me just go ahead and pray. I will invite you guys to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day, another opportunity where we get to reverence your name. God, you are such an awesome and mighty God, and we just thank you so much for all of your mercy and your loving kindness that you undeservingly continuously just give out to us. God, I ask right now if there be anything in our thought, word, or deed that requires your forgiveness, that you would just help us to see those things and lay them just before you completely, God, letting it go and full repentance, God. I ask that you would just prune us from those things so that we can draw closer and closer to you. God, I pray right now for those who are listening that, you know, they don't hear something from Sierra or Keith, but that they hear something from you, whether it's affirmation, confirmation, or a revelation, Lord God. But ultimately, we just pray that your name be glorified throughout this segment here today. We're going to be talking about our African-American men and mental health, Lord, and we understand that this is a very important topic that deserves a level of awareness so that people can start to heal in a way like never before. So I thank you right now for what you've already done, your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So, Keith, you are a black man.
Yeah.
You also work in mental health.
Yes, I do.
So can you just tell us a little bit about that experience being a black man in the mental health field first?
Oh, wow. There's so many dynamics to being a black male in the mental health field. There are both positives and negatives, of course, just like with anything else. Some of the positives is that, you know, I do see a diverse group of people, men, women, children, boys, girls, different nationalities and races. I often find myself gravitating I find that other males will often come to me, and that's a great thing. But what I've learned is, and what I've addressed with some of my clients is, you know, just because we share some commonalities doesn't always mean that I will be the best fit. So one of the cons that I see is sometimes, you know, I've had some situations where offering counseling where I felt that I may not have been the best therapist for that particular person. But the flip side of that is that's not that often. I feel that as a black male, I understand what it's like to be a black male. I understand what it's like to be, as I just said, both black and male. And so when we're dealing with those dynamics, it makes the treatment more relatable when it comes time to sit down and process certain things. While I may not have had everyone's experience, there are certain things that I can understand when other black males or just other people come into the office and need counseling. In our community, as you know, there can be a lot of stigma, especially within the religious community or the Christian community. A lot of black males don't attend church, and many won't find themselves in a place where they can get therapy. So my experience is that I find a person, a lot of the black males that I work with, hurting, with nowhere to go and not knowing who to turn to or how to even go through the process of turning to someone. That ability to be vulnerable is often missing. So a lot of times I have to remind myself, that's why I'm here, because I know, I've been on both sides of this coin. As a professional, I know what it's like to help people. But as a human being who lives a day-to-day life, I know how hard it is to be vulnerable, to open up and to admit that I'm in pain. Because culturally, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be tough and you're supposed to push through. You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to be a black man. And you're not supposed to let the world know that you're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That was real good. I appreciate you for sharing that. So you're saying that sometimes it works when you're sitting across from somebody who looks like you because you guys have a certain that commonality. But sometimes it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't work, like what do you find that's the dynamic that happens there?
When it doesn't work, I utilize the training and the skills and I believe a God-given ability to remain open. I may not understand everything that a person is going through, and that's anybody. if someone from another race or nationality comes in the door, I'm not from the Middle East. I'm not from Europe. I'm not from other parts of the world where things may be done differently. So I may not understand the culture, but I will allow them to educate me. I will listen. I will do my best to figure out what it is that they're experiencing from their views. I may have never walked in their shoes and may never, but I, as a therapist or as any therapist, the goal should be to be open to listening and hearing what the person is saying, whether you can relate to it or not. I think a lot of therapists mm-hmm. make the mistake of ignoring that, and they try to advise or counsel from their scope, and that's not best practice.
So, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that we can relate to people on a very basic human level, no matter what you look like, man, woman, black, white, blue, whatever. We can get down to, like, the
Correct.
Human level there. Okay, yeah. Correct. I think that's really good. I find the same thing, too. You know, a lot of people, being an African-American female, I think a lot of my population ends up being African-American females because it's like you're another face that looks like me. You understand the struggle, that type of situation.
Right.
But I've actually found out that sometimes that's not the case because my walk as an African-American is completely different than many of the clients who I sit with. So sometimes I don't have that area of relatability. So we do have to rely on like our professionalism as well, our professional training, as well as just meeting them right there on a basic human level. Like, okay, we all know that we're going through some kind of struggle in this fallen world, period. So I think that's good. But I did also hear you say that, you know what it's like to be vulnerable. And this is going to help us kind of segue into, like, some of the challenges I think that happens in our culture with black men and going to get seeking out some type of mental health care. Being vulnerable as a black man, would you say that there's a stigma around that and, like, getting mental health care? Would you say that? As a black man, like, how do you feel?
As a black man, I will say healthcare in general, first and foremost. Healthcare in general, it's hard motivating some of our population to just get out and get healthcare. Just check on yourselves. But when you get when you itemize or you go to a more acute demographic such as mental health, you're dealing with a whole nother situation. There are a lot of people who a lot of our young black men who are in need of some type of mental health care, and they don't receive it. And it starts early. A lot of times it starts early. By the time they're diagnosable around 18, there's a lot of things that have already set in during the teen years. So, well, they can be diagnosed earlier. But, for instance, what I'm alluding to is a lot of times you'll see young black males who are angry, who are never treated for their any type of emotional impairment or any type of anger management. So these angry boys become angry men, and these angry men end up having very detrimental lives because they don't know they never learn how to manage their symptoms. They never learn what was going on with them. I see it often in the prison system and outside of it, where once I start working with individuals, I often give them an assignment of talking to their family members about mental health habits, history, and trends within the family. Because, again, there isn't always a diagnosis within the family because Uncle John. They don't go. Exactly. So you may not. But when you start to discuss habits and trends, one of my most recent clients, he noticed that there was a history of suicide in his family. Most of the men committed suicide around the age of between 34 and 40. And now that he's approaching 35, he's worried that he may fall into that category because he wrestles with depression. And so, but it wasn't until he was given the homework where he went home and started asking more questions. And now that allows him to be more accountable to himself. So when he starts having these problems, and it allows others to help him be accountable. When he starts having these doubts, these fears, these problems, he can reach out to me. He can reach out to other people. We can put a treatment plan in place to help him help himself. And so that's one of the success stories. Unfortunately, I don't see that too often, a lot of times in our culture, we're fearful of, as I call it, looking under the hood. We don't medically, whether it be physically or mentally, we don't often want to pop the hood to see what's going on under there. And sometimes that's the only way we can
deal with it. Where does that come from?
Oh.
Come on. Let us know. We trying to get some information. Where does that come from?
Where it comes from, I think it's fear. I think it's the fear of knowing, even with our cars, the fear of knowing what's broken and that it's going to take time and work and money to fix it. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's taught and it's learned. We just keep moving. We don't deal with our problems. We just keep moving and we pray they go away. We don't have time to worry about what's going on. We need to keep moving. So some of it is taught. Like I've talked to several men who say, well, I've never learned to sit down and process my emotions. I often speak when I go out, I often speak on child development and the fact that the frontal lobe within boys grows slower than girls. It develops slower than it does with females. So that's what we learn where we make decisions from. That's what we learn how to communicate, how we learn to speak. So I was explaining from what I've seen, most young boys cannot articulate. They don't have the vocabulary to always express what they want to say. So you'll see a lot of young men angry. And it's not because they just want to be angry. It's because they lack the inability or lack the vocabulary to put together to express exactly how they feel. You'll see a lot of women are able to purge those emotions. They're able to purge that anger. Mm. They're able to purge those feelings because even young girls, a lot of them can sit down and tell you exactly what they're feeling and tell you why. And they can talk it out. Even if they scream it out or cry it out, they can at least find a way to purge. Young men will often act out. They'll throw chairs. I've seen this in classrooms where they'll throw chairs. They'll punch another student. They're destructive to people and property. Again, that's something that I don't think we pay enough attention to. So culturally, we have these young boys who grow up to be men who do the same thing. They don't know how to sit down and talk about. And then they're told, many are told that they are weak if they do sit down and talk about it. I've had clients, young clients, children that I've been seeing, who told me that, that somebody in their family, a cousin or a brother or uncle, told them don't go to therapy telling all of our business, or don't go to therapy crying like a baby, there's a stigma, go cry to your therapist, because that's what one of them said. I asked them, why aren't you talking to me this week? Because, my brother told me that all I was going to do is go cry to my therapist. And I told him, this is a safe place for you to talk about what's bothering you so we can figure out how to make it stop bothering you. There is so much to this dynamic of why black men do not seek counseling. Some have had bad experiences, if I'm honest. Some have had bad experiences where they did try. I saw an article recently. Many look for a black male or look for a male or black counselor, but there are not many. And again, if you find one, it doesn't always mean that they'll be able to identify and connect with you. But there's a lot of times that I've discussed with some of my friends and some of my clients why they did not return to a certain therapy session, and they expressed how they were let down or how they were hurt, or they did not feel that the therapist was interested in helping them. They felt that, they were basically just wasting time. So it's important to find the right person for you. It's very important that you find somebody who's vested in your success, your healing, and your recovery.
I like the way you said that, invested in that, because it doesn't have to be always that they have an understanding completely, or there's something common, but as long as they're invested, I think that you can actually grow and heal with that person. So I really like the way you said that. And I also I'm hearing you say that a lot of it has to do with some just developmental differences between men and women, one. So that's our science portion of it. But then there's also what I call false teachings of strength, because even as a woman, too, I think culturally things like vulnerability and expressing a need for help is weak. It's a weakness. And as a black man with this ideal that you need to carry your, not just your family, but your community and the world on just your shoulders, as well as do everything else, when you don't meet that standard, then you're looked at as maybe like a weak man, not worthy of even being considered, and this might be strong, but considered a black man, because there's this big idea that they do everything at this certain level, and if you're even challenged in any way, you ain't it. Do you feel like is that your experience,
yeah,
or is that maybe some people you've heard some experience?
There is a population, or there, I will say yes, there is. I won't say that's the norm for everybody, or that's everyone's truth, but yes, for a large group of black men, I think many identify exactly with what you just said. They feel that that they could, should, and would be doing more, and when they fail, many don't know how to handle life's failures. Again, that's what some.
Yeah.
I got a lot of people who come to me just to deal with that. I failed. I flunked out of school. I got fired. Like, just processing that grief or that loss, because you're told. I know many black men are already told that they feel worthless. They feel like throwaways, especially a lot of the ones I deal with within the criminal justice system. They feel like throwaways. And so when you hit a level of failure, it becomes, to them, it becomes, the mindset becomes, what's the point? Why try? I already have a record. I'm a felon. And what's the point of trying to change? What's the point of trying to become the better version or the best version of myself? I've already
mm-hmm.
lost. So, well, I know that's not true. But
mm-hmm.
we live in a society that perpetuates that. And sometimes it comes from the community or our own culture itself, where, you know, you're a black man, you should be doing this. But I will say that we are a very loving and forgiving culture. A lot of times we are very quick to push each other back up or build each other back up. But again,
mm-hmm.
It takes a desire to be vulnerable and a level of transparency to allow people to do that. And again, because we have to appear strong, we don't always want to offer that.
Mm.
So it interferes with the healing process.
That's good. You know, it's too bad this is just a 30-minute show, so we got to kind of move a little quickly. Like, so what do we do? Like, so this is Clinically Speaking, and, you know, we talk about faith-based things too. So I want to try to move into integrating the church here. What does the church what can the church do for the black man as far as his mental health is related? Or should the church do anything? Like, what do you think?
Absolutely. I believe the church should do many things. First, and like you said, it's just a 30-minute show, so I...
Many things.
Yeah, I could get comfortable in this conversation. We'll be here for a little while. But I think the church, I believe the church, starting with its pastors, I know a lot of the pastors themselves are some of the main people who aren't allowed to be vulnerable. They are the pastor, and they have to be the strongest. And they have the biggest issues a lot of times. They're dealing with domestic issues. They're dealing with addiction. Like, they're human too. So I think the church.
I'm triggered,
first,
Keith. I'm triggered. Go ahead.
I think the church should have a. There should be a plan within the churches to take care of their pastors who need help, just as well as the members, because. Whether it be groups that members could attend, even individually in California.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Counseling.
I don't want to cut you off. So I like this. We're talking about a top-down kind of thing, right? So
yes.
Maybe the pastor or the leadership board being the example, so that it's maybe even more comfortable within the congregation for this to be a thing, right? Okay.
Yes.
I love that. And I think that that does need to be brought to the church. You know, and you know, some pastors, they might have a better way of coping. They could have excellent stress management skills and communication skills. But I think another thing that should be said too is when we talk about mental health, we can also, we need to also include mental wellness too. Like, we go and get checkups at the doctor when nothing is wrong.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about our mental health, it just helps us to de-stress. Just because, you know, you're not necessarily have a diagnosis out of the DSM, or, you know, you're not in a your relationship is not on the brink of divorce, or, you know, some other kind of significant level of trauma, that doesn't mean that we all couldn't benefit from speaking with a mental health provider, somebody that can help us to, I love this imagery that one of my clients sent to me. It was a bunch of thread, a bunch of yarn just going over her head in one of those little thinking bubbles, and then the therapist was sitting across from her, and she was actually, like, organizing each of the strings and wrapping them up into their own individual yarns, making, like, a ball of yarn. And that's kind of what therapy can help us to do, because as adults, who doesn't have a whole bunch of things to do? And I think therapy can be very beneficial for that. So that's something that needs to be said, too. You don't have to, dare I say, be the C word. You don't have to be crazy. Nobody, don't nobody call on me. I didn't mean that the way it came out. I'm just trying to relate, right? But we don't have to be that in order to talk to a therapist. We could just need some, we could be wanting to sharpen our skills. I think in as being a mental health professional, we see other mental health professionals because iron sharpens iron, right? That's what our Bible says.
That is right.
And
that is
that's also a principle that we adopted within this profession. You should see one because you need somebody to help you have an unbiased opinion on that outside looking in type thing. So I love that. Like,
absolutely.
Top down could be very beneficial in the church. Okay, well, what else can they do real quick?
What else? They start with the pastors top down. Offer if they cannot offer groups or individuals at the church, connect with some of the local agencies and groups and find out where they can find qualified Christian counselors in their area that can do the marriages, work on the marriages, work on the, like I said, the individuals or the groups. There's so many different dynamics. I know a lot of churches that are thriving, they're able to have their singles ministry, their family life, but a lot of churches don't have that. And then incorporating different healthy strategies within the church to build up the members as well as the community. So not just offer it to your members, but offer it to the community at large. I think the church could do a lot of things to help people both, well, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Yeah, that's good. And you said it right. Get you a qualified Christian counselor. We out here. We are out here. And it's very important that you find somebody who shares your worldview so that you don't add any more confusion to what you could possibly be coming to see somebody for. So sharing that worldview is somebody who shares that worldview is so important to do that. We are definitely out here. We're almost out of time. I did find a couple resources online. Therapy for Black Men. Have you visited that site before, Keith?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I found
have.
That to be very helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has a lot of information, about Black men in therapy. And, you know, a lot of the things I've said, they've posted in detail. So it's a great resource.
So that's a great resource for some of my listeners to check out if you have any further questions about this. And then there's Melanin and Mental Health. Those are that's another resource, and that was just about African Americans as a whole. But those are two really good resources. The scripture that I wanted to see, I don't have time for it. I want y'all to go look up Psalm 31:17, and tell me what you think about that. When I post this on the Facebook page, maybe you could tell me what you think about that as it relates to our topic today. I hope that information or something that was said today was helpful for somebody that's listening. Keith, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
I can be reached. My email address is therapyjones1@gmail.com, or I can be reached at
234-9727. Again, 734-224-9727.
Thank you so much. You guys know how to find me. We're at elevatedcounselingandcoaching.com as well as on Facebook. I pray that that touched somebody. I'm going to quickly pray us out. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship and glorify your name. God, I pray that some information fell on our heart and you can just go ahead and water those seeds that were planted today, Lord God. We trust you. We believe you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys a lot,
amen.
And I will talk with you soon. Thank you, Keith.
No problem. You're welcome.